This podcast is a production of The Orchard, a church community located in Aurora, Illinois, whose mission is leading people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. Visit us online at orchardvalleyonline.com.
Hey, turn to your neighbor, person sitting next to you. Ask them, what are you looking forward to the most this Christmas? Go ahead, ask them. You know, there's a lot of things we look forward to this time of year, isn't there? Yeah, we look forward to all kinds of things. We look forward to hanging out with family. Well, most family. I'm kidding. We look forward to hanging out with friends, don't we? And, of course, seeing all the lights and the trees. And for some people, the thing they look forward to the most is Christmas, putting up Christmas decorations. That's something they get real excited about. Or how about food? Good food, huh, at Christmas time? Is it? No, just me? Okay, great. I get to eat all of your food, too. But let's face it. Look, whether you're an adult or a child, whatever category you fall into, maybe you're not sure. But you know what I think most of us look forward to the most? And we don't like to admit this because it doesn't always seem very spiritual. But you know what we look forward to the most? Our presence. Yeah, I think there's something for many of us. We look forward to the presence. And as much as we know that it feels great to give presence, we also, come on, let's be honest, we also love to receive presents now and then, don't we, huh? Yeah, we love to receive them, especially Christmas time. Well, speaking of presents, this past week I was thinking about some of the Christmas presents I received as a youngster, and probably similar to the types of presents most of you received, right? Things like underoos, right? Superman underoos. Yeah. Don't try to imagine that, okay? Or how about, yeah, I'll never forget the black dress socks from the funny-smelling aunt, whose name I could never remember, and who, based on the socks she got me every single year, thought that I was always seven, you know? But you know, the gift I think I remember the most, I'll never forget this, I was like 8 years old, and my parents got me these big, yellow, Radio Shack, battery-powered headphones, AM/FM stereo headphones. You remember those? Oh yeah, they were awesome, man. Let me tell you something. And when I say headphones, these things were headphones. They were bigger than my head. They were gigantic. But I do think I looked pretty sexy in them because everywhere I went, people stared at me. I actually looked like I should have been like on the airstrip at O'Hare Airport, you know, with these things going like this. They were gigantic. That like this foot and a half antenna sticking out the side, you know. My mom, don't take your sister's eye out with that, okay? But anyway, I'll never forget. I was so excited, you know. I remember getting the gift, opening it up, and pulling these things out, and just thinking to myself, these things are going to change my life. I will never be the same. And then the next thing I know, my dad would do what he did every Christmas, every gift. Let me see those. Scott, let me see those. Hand me those. Let me see those. And so he took them. He's starting to look at them as though he's some sort of, you know, I don't know, electronic guru of some sort, you know. And he's looking at them. He's checking them out. And all of a sudden, I hear the snapping of plastic. And I look at him. He looks at me, and he hands it to me and says, these don't work. Which is like the worst thing in the world that an 8-year-old can hear on Christmas Day, because, of course, there's no way to get them replaced because everything's closed on Christmas. So, yeah, that was a really memorable Christmas, and, you know, all my cousins running around having a great time with their gifts, and I'm in the corner with my broken headphones. So, anyway, counseling has helped me a lot. But, you know, I'm sure we all have those stories, don't we? Or how about, you know, your parents buy you gifts that require batteries, but they forget the batteries. Right? Very frustrating. But you know what's funny about Christmas presents? And this is the truth. I mean, I seriously, this last week, tried to do this. This past week, I honestly was not able. I sat down and said, okay, let me think of all the presents I received as a kid growing up. So I was going to make a list. I was going to sit down and say, okay, let me think of all the Christmas presents I received as a kid. And can I be honest with you? I could remember maybe 5 things that I received as a kid. I just couldn't remember them. But I tell you what I could remember were the interactions that surrounded the gifts that I received. The memories, the time spent with my mom, my dad, my cousins, my sister. I mean, that's really what I remember the most, and probably the same for most of you. I mean, just think about even last year. Now, don't admit this because the person who got you gifts last year might be sitting next to you. But I mean, how many of you, if I said, okay, name off everything you received last year for Christmas. Hey, my guess is that probably all of us would have to sit here for a minute and go, okay, let me really think about that. I mean, we struggle. In fact, this last week I asked our team, I said, okay, tell me something you remember receiving. At Christmas time, and one of our guys, he said, I remember receiving a fishing pole. A fishing pole. I said, okay, great. What color was the fishing pole? You know, I don't remember. You said fishing pole. You remember the most. And you know what he said to me? He said, okay, well, it's not really the fishing pole. It's actually what I remember the most are all the fishing trips that I went on with my dad. The time spent with my dad out on a little boat fishing. And someone else said that what they remembered the most was jewelry. And I said, okay, tell me about that. Why do you remember the jewelry? And they said, well, because, not just because it was jewelry, but because this was jewelry that was given to me by my grandmother. And so to me, that jewelry represents time spent together. It represents memories that we had, you know? In fact, I was thinking about a few things that I had. In fact, I brought a few things this morning that I think would probably fall in that same category for me. Things that really, when I think about what are the things that have brought the most meaning into my life. And so I thought I'd share a few of these with you. You guys are waiting for something funny, but it's not. No, this is really serious. One of them is an elephant. Someone got me an elephant. They knew that my father was really into elephants. And so they had an elephant that was given to them by their grandfather, who was also into elephants, and so they wanted me to have this as a gift. And so I put this now in my office. Every time I see it, I think of this person, and I think about my dad, and I think of the memories. I mean, this is a meaningful kind of gift. Let me show you a couple other things. Just let him sit right there. Let's see what else. Okay, here's something. A couple years ago, my daughter, Elise, did a painting of her. She did her hand and did a design and framed it for me. And this also hangs in my office. And the reason that this is so impacting, obviously, is from my daughter. Not just the fact that it's paper with colors on it. No, what really, I mean, makes the difference is that I know that my daughter spent time putting this together. And she had me in mind as she did it. A couple more here. Okay, here's one. This is a pocket watch that was given to me, passed to me from my father. Which actually belonged to his father before him. And so this is something, I mean, it's not just the fact that this is a clock, okay, that actually doesn't even work, okay? But the fact that this was passed down and there are memories associated with this. This represents time. It represents relationships. Let me show you one more. And this one's really cool. A friend of our family, a little bit after when my father passed away, he was a pastor too, and so after he passed away, I became the pastor of the church several months later, and so this woman found she said, I want to find a way to encourage Scott. I want to find a way just to encourage him and say to him, you know, Scott, you need to know that God has called you, and you need to know that you have a lot of people around you who love you and support you. And so she found this painting that's got a minister who's preaching, and surrounding him are some great heroes of faith from the Bible that just basically represents exactly that you are one more generation of great people of faith, and you have people around you who love you and support you and are empowering you. I mean, these are the kinds of gifts. I mean, when I think about what gifts stick out the most in my mind and in my heart, it's these kind of gifts. You know, I mean, they all mean something because they're very special to me, not just because they're presents. Look, here's why they're so important and why they're so special to me. These are not just presents. These are presents that actually have behind them the presence of someone else. I mean, are you following me? I mean, the bottom line is the greatest presents that we receive in our lives are the ones with someone's presence, presence. The greatest presents are the ones that have someone's presence behind them, whether it's the presence of time, the presence of love. The greatest presents are the ones with people's presence behind it. And if you think about it, man, what we're celebrating right now, this Advent season, is exactly that, isn't it? In fact, there's a scripture you're probably familiar with if you've been around church for very long or or you watch football on TV. John chapter 3, verse 16, John 3, 16, right? What does it say? Let's read it together, ready? For God so loved the world that he gave what? What? He gave what? A teapot? A microwave oven. Is that what it is, right? A car, a pair of shoes. No. What does it say? Let's read it together, ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. I mean, that right there is the essence of what Advent is all about. In fact, the word Advent comes from the Latin word coming. And that is what we're doing. We are anticipating the coming of what? We're anticipating the coming of God's Son. We're not anticipating the coming of some ultra slim piece of technology. We're not anticipating the coming of some plastic toy that our dads can break. No. We are anticipating the coming of our Savior, Jesus. That is the ultimate relational gift. And I'll tell you what makes that gift so unique. Listen, this is huge. What makes this gift so unique is that this was a gift that no one else could have brought into this world. No one. This is a gift that could not have come into your life any other way than by God giving you the gift of Jesus. You could not have earned this gift. There's nothing you could have done in your life to try to come to a place of deserving this gift somehow. It's not about maybe at the end of my life, if I have more good things over here than I do bad things over here, then finally I can maybe get into heaven one day. No. This is about God giving the free gift of his son, Jesus. And it's a gift that only he could have brought. That's what made the gift so unique. Let me show you a couple scriptures John wrote about Jesus, and he said this. Look at these, and these would be great scriptures for you to just share with your family throughout this Advent season. Let me show you this. John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory," one-of-a-kind glory, "like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish." And look at verse 16. He says, "We all live off his generous bounty, gift after gift after gift." And that's so true, isn't it? We live off the generous bounty of God. I mean, it's a gift that no one else could have given. And we see this pattern throughout the scriptures. We see, I mean, you go all the way back to the creation of mankind. We see God giving a gift that no one else could have given to Adam and Eve, his presence. God is walking among mankind. He is giving man, he is giving Adam and Eve the gift of his presence. We see it in the lives of people, like, for example, people like David and Jonathan, giving each other a gift that only they could have given. We see it with people like Ruth and Naomi. We see it with a lady by the name of Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene, who gets down one day on her hands and feet, and she literally washes the feet of Jesus using this expensive perfume. And see, it wasn't just the fact that she uses perfume to wash his feet. I mean, what makes it so unique is that she gives something that only she could have given. It was worship from her heart. No one else could have given Mary Magdalene's worship to Jesus. Only Mary Magdalene could give it, and it came right from her heart. You know, there's one story in the scriptures that really stick out to me about this kind of giving. In fact, it's found in Luke chapter 19. In fact, if you have your Bibles, I want you to go there because I want you to follow me a little bit. If you don't have them, then get out of here right now. No, I'm kidding. Just kidding. No, sit down. No, we'll put them on the screens. I was just seeing if you guys are with me. Luke 19. Okay, so here's what's going on. Jesus has just entered into a place called Jericho. And in Jericho is this really interesting man by the name of Zacchaeus. Everyone say Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, okay? Very, very interesting man. For one, Zacchaeus is very, very wealthy. But he is very, very disliked as well. Not many people like Zacchaeus because he was the chief tax collector. And in those days, the tax collectors, kind of like the IRS today. No, I'm just kidding. No one really liked him that much. Yeah, so Zacchaeus, okay, is in this town, and no one likes him. He's not well-respected because oftentimes he would overtax people, and he ended up becoming very wealthy and getting money in ways that he shouldn't have, kind of like Rob Blagojevich. But seriously, he wasn't well-liked at all. In fact, in a cultural sense, it was kind of like, now I'm talking about Zacchaeus, not Rob Blagojevich, but in a cultural sense, it was kind of like he was at the same level as a prostitute or a thief in this time. People just didn't like him. And so anyway, so one day, Jesus Christ is coming to town, okay? And for whatever reason, the one thing that Zacchaeus wanted more than anything was to see Jesus. He wanted to see Jesus. There were only a couple problems. One of those problems was that everywhere Jesus went, there were huge crowds. And so for one, there's this huge crowd. But even worse than that, the other problem was not only were there big crowds, but Zacchaeus, the Bible says, was a tiny little man. He was a tiny little man. Maybe like this tall or something. No, he was a tiny little man. You know who I always think of? Like if I were ever going to make a movie about Zacchaeus, it would be Danny DeVito. Would be Zacchaeus, okay? I really wanted to find one with a cigar in his hand because that just, you know, seems to fit the part. But I'm sure he's a good guy, so don't associate it too much with him being Zacchaeus. But anyway, what was I saying? Okay, Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, okay, but he can't because he's small and there's all these crowds, but he's determined. So he gets really innovative and he ends up running ahead of everyone else. And get this, he climbs up in a tree, for Pete's sake. He climbs up in a tree. I'm going to get in a tree. If I'm in a tree, I can see Jesus. And so look what happens. So Jesus is walking. He makes his way by the tree. I don't even know how this went down, but I mean, I don't know, like if Jesus just randomly looked up. But it says, the scriptures tell us, Jesus is walking along and he looks, what are you doing, man? You're crazy. You're going to break your neck. Get down from there. Let me show you what he actually says. Luke 19, verse 5. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. Now, that's huge, okay, on so many levels. I mean, on so many levels. I mean, for one, Jesus calls him by name. Do you realize how that must have made him feel at that moment? Jesus calls him by name. He says, hey, Zacchaeus, let's hang out. Let's go have a barbecue over your house, all right? Let's go hang out. Here's what happened. Verse 6, Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. In great excitement and joy. So Jesus here is giving Zacchaeus an incredible gift. He's giving him the gift of his time. Of his time. And of course, as you can imagine, this made a huge impact. Huge impact. On so many different levels. In fact, let's keep reading. Verse 6, let's read that again. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down, took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But, everyone say but. But, you know something bad coming whenever you see the word but, okay? But the people were displeased. He's talking about religious people, which is probably part of the reason it says the word but there. Anyway, but the people were displeased. See, religious people are always displeased. It's true. You can laugh there. You know it's true. Okay? Religious people are always displeased. And it says the people were displeased. And then this is what they said. He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. They grumbled. That's the other thing religious people do. They grumble a lot, right? So they're religious people are well, they're butts and they're displeased and they grumble a lot, okay? I mean, first of all, obviously part of what Jesus was doing here was first of all, he's making a huge statement to Zacchaeus. He calls him by name. He makes a huge statement by doing that. But the other thing is he makes a big statement to all these religious people because socially, this is a big no-no. You do not hang out with people like Zacchaeus. No way. That's not very pastoral. That's not very rabbi-ish, rabbinical, whatever you want to call it. And so what happens? Well, so Jesus gets this harassment from the butts, the religious people. And what does he do? What does he do? Does he say, you know what, you guys are right, I'm sorry. He's like, I got to go, because you know what? What's most important here is that I please the religious people. No. No, he doesn't care. And so let me show you what happens. So Jesus goes to his home, and something pretty powerful happens. Because look at the end result here. Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. And he says this, I will give half my wealth to the poor. And he says, if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. And look at this, verse 9, Jesus responded. He says, salvation has come to this home today. Listen to this. This is huge. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. I love the distinction. Is all these other people out here, all they're just full of lip service. They're just about looking good on the surface. They're about following all the religious rules and all these things, but their hearts are not in it. And here's a guy, Zacchaeus. He says, this guy, he is a true son of Abraham. In other words, something has happened in here, in his heart. Verse 10, speaking of himself, Jesus says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. I mean, the bottom line is, listen, something huge has happened in the life of Zacchaeus. Something huge. He is a changed man. And it all started because Jesus was willing to give him a gift that began with something as simple as his time. His time. But see, it wasn't just time that Jesus gave him. No, it was his time. Okay, listen, here's the deal. At that moment in Zacchaeus' life, nobody else's time would have made the difference that Jesus' time made. I mean, look, he was not hanging out in a tree looking for a friend, just looking for a friend. Hey, anyone? No, he was looking for Jesus. And Jesus finds him, and he calls him by name Zacchaeus, and he gives him the relational gift of time. He gives him a gift that only he could have given him at that moment. And as a result, his life was never, ever, ever the same. So, what does that have to do with Advent? Well, about a year ago, a lot of you will remember this, I stood up here and I challenged our community, and together we asked the question, we said, you know what if this year, what if this year is different? What if this Christmas is different? What if this year, instead of just running out and spending, just spending money, which would mean for many getting into more debt to buy gifts that so often end up doing what? Diverting our attention away from the true meaning of Christmas. We said, what if we focused our attention and our hearts on giving each other gifts that will far outlast the Christmas season through what's known as relational gift giving? Relational gift giving. And so we said, look, be creative. It's whatever you decide to do, whether it's something as simple like an afternoon sledding together as a family and a time together as a family having games and hot chocolate, whether it's a framed family photo that you give your family members, whatever it is. I mean, what we're talking about are giving gifts that truly come from the heart. Because one of the things you know as well as I do is that, look, there is just something about receiving gifts that come from here that mean a heck of a lot more than anything you could ever buy on the sales rack at Macy's or Banana Republic. Right? I mean, there is nothing like receiving gifts that come from the heart. And so last year, for some, you know, that meant simply taking, perhaps, I mean, there were some families that said, okay, this year, instead of doing 19 gifts per child, we are going to do 18 gifts per child, and we're going to do one relational gift. There were some last year who said, you know what, we need a radical change in our family. So this year, we're going to go all the way. We're going to just do one huge relational gift to each other as a family. Again, it's not about here's a formula to follow. It's really what works best for where you're at in your journey right now. And so relational gift giving, it's about, here's what it's about. It's about giving gifts that only you can give. I mean, imagine what that would do to your Christmas. And I'll tell you what, last year we received email after email from people whose lives and whose Christmas was different than any other Christmas they've ever experienced. In fact, one of the emails I received was from a family in our church and from a woman by the name of Lisa Leisure. And in fact, Lisa's with us today. I asked Lisa to come up here because I wanted her to share from her own words how it impacted her family. So would you welcome Lisa Leisure? Welcome her, would you? Hello, Lisa. Thanks for being here.
Thank
Really appreciate it. This is, see, it gets easier and easier, doesn't it? It's the third time now that you've done this. And yeah, you missed a great one last service, though, so you should get the CD, but, right? Anyway, Lisa, thank you very much. Lisa and her family, Guy is her husband, and you guys have been a part of the Orchard now for how long?
15 years, 15 wonderful years.
15 years, that's awesome. You know, nowadays, that's pretty good, isn't it? 15 years, but we won't go there. Congratulations. You should get, like, an award.
Okay.
All right, we'll have... Mike's going to go get that for you right now. Anyway, no. Hey, you sent me an email last year, and this last week when I was when I was thinking through my talk, I wanted to your email came to my mind. I thought, man, it would be really cool if you could share a little bit. So I want to read some of what you wrote, and I want you to expound on a little bit of it and just kind of share with us through your own words what you know, what it was that really made this last year, made Christmas so unique for you. But you wrote this. You said, Scott, I just wanted to take a few minutes to let you know how our entire family was blessed this year to be a part of Advent Conspiracy. And then you said something really intriguing. You said, my husband and I both felt like we needed to change something this year at Christmas time in our own family giving. And I think that statement right there, we really felt like something needed to change at Christmas. I think that probably echoes, I mean, I know I shared this last week that for my wife and I, you know, a few years ago, we started feeling like something needs to change. And I mean, I'm sure you guys, in your own way, you feel that every year at Christmas time. But I want you to tell us, what was it that really, I don't know, that got your attention mm-hmm. and caused you to feel that way?
Yeah, I think that both of us just felt the whole season coming on again and the idea that we wanted to make a difference in our Christmas and the time we spent with our family and our giving. And it seemed like year after year, it would go by, and we just felt like we missed that making a difference.
And that's an awful feeling. I mean, like the day, it's like the day after Christmas, you go,
yeah, it is, because we've built up all this momentum that we really think this year we're going to fulfill this. And it's in our hearts, and we have good intentions. And the time goes by, and we get wrapped up in everything, and we go, oh. We missed it.
Yeah, and not even bad things. I mean, it's not like
not
gifts are bad or
not at all.
Shopping is bad, but it's those things. It's like we've been talking about, those things become a distraction.
Right.
And distract us from really where our focus should be
exactly.
The most. You said something last night that I thought was really good just about the whole birthday thing. Would you share that again? Because I thought that was a great analogy.
Yeah, that was how it hit me when I had my moment of this is why it has to change. And I just process the fact that I take all this time and I buy the right gifts and I want people to be happy and I love seeing the look on their faces and I love sharing with gifts. But all of a sudden it hit me that we are taking the wrong gifts to this birthday party every year. This party and this celebration is about the birth of Christ and what he gave us. And giving back in gifts I think is a wonderful idea. However, we were just missing that part of giving back and helping in a way that I felt for our family needed to be more impactful in what we were doing.
And I think that's part of the power in relational giving is that it does help us turn our focus where it needs to be.
Right.
And so you first of all, remind us how many kids you have.
We have 6 kids.
Between what are their ages?
From 29 to 9 years old.
29 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
20-year plan. We signed up on.
20-year plan. Everyone, just stretch your hands forth. We're just going to pray right now.
Yeah.
No, but so you're getting inspired last year by this all, and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to sit down with my family. But there's some reservation because, you know, you're thinking, okay, a couple of my kids, they go here to the Orchard, a couple don't. What if they think this is crazy, you
right.
know? I mean, tell us about that.
I did. I hesitated and with all these wonderful thoughts because I thought, how is this going to be received by everyone? Because what I wanted to ask everyone to do so that we could make this a family tradition and that everyone would be a part of it was that part of what we gave them, the money would be used to go towards what we wanted to contribute to the Clean Water Project here at the Orchard and for the local giving that we did. And I wanted to ask them all to be a part of it by us taking part of those funds as well as funds that we were taking from gifts we received from our own parents and then the money we would spend on each other. And I was so pleased and blessed and proud of all of our kids, all of them and their spouses for what I saw in them.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they really wanted to be a part of this giving the same, and then that made me feel like I brought it full circle, because it was a true family giving. Yeah. And, you know, when you see that with your kids, that's huge. You want that for them. You want them to know that kind of giving the way that you know it. And I felt that we were truly blessed to have kids that said, yeah, let's do that.
They got it.
They really got it.
They got it, yeah.
So that was a real huge blessing in the whole thing.
Well, and so you guys decided, okay, we're going to do one big family relational gift, which was going out to a concert together as a family.
Right,
just
that
having
was
an evening
our relational
together.
Giving with them. We kicked off that first weekend in December and spent time with all of them. There were 16 of us, and we went to a Christmas concert and had a wonderful time sharing in that evening with all of them. And
great memory.
Again,
that
it was a great memory. You know, I always wanted to do it with the Christmas cookie thing I was telling you about that just never worked. It was like, you know.
It worked for grandma.
It worked for my mom, and I can still remember those great memories. But for me, it was, come on, throw them in the oven, hurry, we got to get somewhere, and, you know, decorate them. They looked so awful, you didn't want to eat them. And just nothing ever worked. And I thought, why can't I get this cookie thing down?
Yeah.
And it's okay. I'm going to let the cookies go. And
isn't that a great relief? A lot of the moms in here are like, whew, okay.
Yeah. So this is our new tradition.
Yeah. And that's beautiful. And so time goes by. Christmas Day, you're together with your family. And I loved share all that, how you did in last service, because that was great.
Yeah. It's Christmas Day. I was telling them earlier that came to me last night how all of this just kind of tied in with a Christmas movie that we start at about Thanksgiving every year. And it's Christmas Vacation with Chevy Chase. And so much of that movie reminds us of our family, primarily my husband, who we call Clark, who we have many friends
Guy, I'm
and
sorry,
family.
Man. I have no control over her right now. This is just, you know how women are, right? Yeah.
Lots of friends and family that call him Clark. And anyway, I related to this movie last night, thinking about how when Clark is out there just working so hard at these lights, and he's stapling to the roof and all but pulls the gutters off, you know, falling off the roof, and goes through all this, and he just wants it to be beautiful, and he wants to share it with his family. And again, all the things we do to work up to Christmas, we have such good intentions, we're trying so hard, and he's out there, and he gets it all done, and it's dark, and I don't remember if he's shining headlights on whatever to get it done. And he gets the family, and now the out-of-town family has arrived. And it's already, you know, crazy and dysfunction going on in the house. And the kids are complaining about the beds they have to give up for family. And nobody's really happy. But Clark just can't wait to share these lights, this light production. And he goes to make, he has them all out there, and he goes to make this final connection. And nothing happens because someone is flipping the light switch in the garage at the same time he does this, and he just gets so frustrated. But then when they finally figure out what's going on, and he makes it, and they're out there, and then there's just like this light comes about, and all this music and roaring of love, and he just feels the joy, and all that he wanted to share with his family comes about. And that's what happened for me on Christmas Day, when I was able to share with all of our kids that, you know, collectively with the money that we put together and all the different ways we did it, we gave $1,500 to the fund to donate to people who are in need, and, you know, to this clean water project that I just said earlier. You know, I think we take so much for granted, and, you know, we just think it's a born right that we have to have running water, and these people just want clean water. And the idea that that is something in process, and that gift is the true gift that reminds me of what Jesus did, you know, for us, and, you know, that God gave us his son to just help us. We have his help all year long in all that we do and all that we fail at and all of our weaknesses. And I felt like finally we connected. We finally made our connection with our new family tradition inspired by the Advent conspiracy here at the Orchard. And I will be forever grateful for that.
And you got, I mean, and how great is that on Christmas morning to be able to be together as a family and say, and go, you know what, we truly were intentional this year about worshiping Jesus. By tangibly blessing people beyond ourselves. And that, I mean, that is so beautiful. And you, this also impacted how you gave to your parents and
right.
in-laws and things like that. Just share
we
that
did.
Real quick.
We gave, my father and his wife live out of town and out of state, so we gave them, we told them we wanted to pay for them to come visit us anytime throughout the year. Instead of sending the money to them at the time of Christmas where we put it towards our fund. And then my in-laws who live closer here, we gave them a card with save the dates on it. For the first Friday of every month, we took them out to dinner and shared that time with them that I think was the best gift they could have ever received from us, because they truly do like that time to be spent. I think, again, we all have good intentions to do that with our families, but we get busy, and every Friday for a year, we got together that first Friday of the month and had dinner with them and spent quality time with them that I know they appreciate and they still talk about. I just got a card the other day from my mother-in-law and father-in-law thanking us for what we did for them, and it also gave us a chance to talk about the fact that we did. This was part of Christmas. We'd say Merry Christmas to them all year long when we'd go to dinner. So it's been a wonderful experience, and I'm just so grateful to be a part of a church community that lends to what our mission statement is and to what we can be involved in here, because I think this is something we might all think of, but we would never really pursue it because it just seems like too much. Well, how do I know the money really goes there and how this and how that? Well, because we have a wonderful church that is doing that for us, and it's up to us to just kind of jump in and receive the blessing and being a part of that.
That's good. Thank you. God bless you. Bye. I mean, hey, you said it right there. Thank you, Lisa.
You're welcome.
Really appreciate you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't even need to finish. Let's just go. That was so good. Lisa, thank you so much. I mean, that's the heart behind relational gift giving right there. And, you know, it's not even about the amount of money or anything like that. It's really just about engaging your heart at whatever level you're able to do. And really what it's about saying is, okay, who are the most important people in my life? And what gift can I give them that no one else can give? You know, as a father to my children, what can I give them that no one else can? As a husband to my wife, what can I give them to give her, one wife, that I can't give, that no one else can give her? And here's, I think, what's important to remember, okay? All of us are unique, all of us. Turn to the person next to you, say, you are unique. You do it. You are unique. Yeah, and some of you are more unique than others, but we are all unique. But here's what that means. Listen. Here's what that means. What that means is that even giving something as simple as your time to someone else is a unique gift to them, okay? Listen, anyone can give you their time, but not just anyone can give you my time or the time of someone you love. That's what makes it so unique. Now, for some of us, this is quite a shift because, this is just a new way of doing things. So for some of you, you might have to ease into this, especially if your kids are used to getting tons of gifts every year. You know, my family, we still do gifts, but we've said, you know what, let's cut out a portion of those and make sure that we're giving relationally in Christmas time. But listen, here's the power, and this is what I want you to get. At the end of the day, here's what I want you to know. The power in relational gift giving is that when you give relationally, it enables you and allows you to spend less on so many levels. Spend less time shopping. Spend less time being sucked into the vacuum of consumerism. It allows you to spend less time getting into debt. It allows you to spend less money, which for many families this year would probably be a very good thing. But here's the other thing it lets you do. You spend less, but you end up at the end of the day giving more. I mean, that's pretty countercultural. You spend less, but you give more. And instead of giving gifts that our dads break or that things wear out or that no longer fit, instead, we're giving time. We are giving memories to one another, all of which are things that will never, ever, ever be forgotten. And so again, this year, we're going to take it and we're going to go to even further than that. And so we're asking this year for you to consider as a family, as a single person, wherever you're at in life, to come together collectively as a community and take whatever we save by giving relationally I mean, if you save $100, if you save $10, I mean, it really, the amount doesn't matter. But if all of us can engage and bring together on Christmas Eve a portion of what we saved by giving relationally, we are going to take that. Last year, somewhere in the neighborhood of $23,000 that came in that we were able to give for clean water projects and local outreach here in our community. And it was just a great thing. I mean, if you all were here, you'll remember that. And so we're going to ask you to do that again this year, to come prepared at our Christmas Eve services. And you'll hear more about this later. But we're going to collect whatever we can for Advent Conspiracy. We're going to send it off, and we're going to provide clean water for people who are in need right now in places around this world. Isn't that an exciting opportunity, guys? Yeah. And like I said, you'll hear more about this next weekend. But that's relational giving. That's it right there. It's spending less so that ultimately you can give more by giving a gift that only you can give. And speaking of giving, we're going to close out our time together by giving back to God. And what that means is here at The Orchard, we believe that everything we have in life belongs to God. And the great thing about that and what that means ultimately is that what it really comes down to is that God is our source. I believe that about my life. I hope you believe that about yours, that God is your source. God is your provider, which means that your provision isn't hanging in the balance of the economy or your job or the stock market. And I'll tell you, if there's any time we need a God to be our source, man, it's right now. And when we give, what we're saying is, God, we believe that everything we have in life belongs to you. So I want you to give today. I want you to make this and make sure that you're worshiping God through your giving, that you're thanking him for the blessings in your life, that you're acknowledging that it all belongs to him, and that you're acknowledging that he is your source. Now, if you're visiting with us, please don't feel obligated to give. But if you are giving, let's just take a moment. Let's bow our heads. Let's worship him and let's pray as we prepare to give back to God. God, it seems like in so many different ways in the scriptures, you constantly, with all the things that you encourage us to do and that in many cases you command us to do, you don't just say, do these things, but you've actually done them and shown us how they're done. I mean, when it comes to this whole idea of relational gift giving, you sent the ultimate relational gift, your son Jesus. And God, we're so thankful for that. And God, I think the greatest thing that any of us could do this morning, and I don't know where everyone's at here in terms of their spiritual journey, but I do know that if there's anything that you would desire of us, is that we would take one step forward on that journey. God, maybe for some, taking that step forward is committing their hearts to relational gift giving this year. God, maybe for others, they are not quite sure what they believe about the whole Christianity thing or Jesus and all of this, but there's just something in their hearts that are drawn to it. And so maybe for some, it's just making a decision that they're going to come back again next weekend. And they're going to keep opening their hearts to you. God, for others, it might mean taking a step in their life today to acknowledge that they want to trust you and that they want to receive you in their life and that they want to become followers of you. And so, I guess wherever you're at today, can I just ask you, what is your next step? And maybe even right now, as we just take a moment, as we pray, maybe you can commit in your heart to saying, God, with your strength and by your grace and your power, I'm going to take another step forward in my journey today. God, we confess that we are in need of you. And God, this is a time of year where we celebrate your gift to us, Jesus. And God, I pray that you would give us the courage to follow Jesus with everything that's in us. God, would you make us people who, at a time of year that it can be very challenging to do so, would you make us the kind of people who truly are worshiping you with all that is within us? And God, may that overflow out of our lives into our families' lives, into our friends, God. And as we give relationally, God, may this Christmas be the greatest Christmas we have ever experienced. God, we pray that today, and we ask that now in your son's name. Amen.